Tales of King Arthur by Sir Thomas Malory. This is a tragic chivalric mythology set in 6th century Britain, featuring Arthur, King of England and legendary leader of the Knights of the Round Table, Arthur's Queen Guinevere, Merlin, a worldly magician and a devil son, Lancelot, friend of Arthur and Guinevere's lover, Galahad, Lancelot's son, finder of the Holy Grail, and Arthur's illegitimate son, Mordred. King Uther Pendragon lusted after Igraine, the Duke of Tintagel's wife. His advances spurned, Uther waged war against Tintagel and besieged his castle. "I am sick for anger and for love of fair Igraine, that I may not be whole," he cried. Beholding his king's grief, Ulfius, one of Uther's knights, summoned Merlin. The wizened magician cast a spell upon Uther and gave him the appearance of Igraine's husband, the Duke. And so disguised, Uther laid with Igraine and she conceived, but Merlin had required a payment in return. "When the child is born, it shall be delivered to me to nourish." Soon after, the Duke died, and Uther married Igraine. When the child Arthur was born, Merlin claimed him as agreed and gave him to Sir Ector's wife to nurse. Several years later, when Uther fell sick and died, Arthur became next in line to the throne. The young man, however, had yet to prove his worthiness. One day, Merlin advised the archbishop to summon all the lords of Britain to a church in London. In the courtyard was a great stone, upon which stood an anvil, and therein was stuck a fair sword naked by the point, and inscribed as follows: "Whoso pulleth out this sword of this stone and anvil is rightwise born King of England." Inasmuch as none of the knights gathered there could dislodge the sword, a tournament was called to mollify their indignation. As it happened, Arthur's guardian, Sir Ector, had a son, Kay, who was to participate in the jousting contest. Kay, however, had left his sword at home and asked Arthur to retrieve it. Unable to find the sword, Arthur decided to ride to the churchyard and take the sword with me that sticketh in the stone. When the lad returned to Sir Kay, the knight, seeing the inscription on the hilt, sought to claim kingship for himself, but Ector knew it was Arthur who had fetched the sword. The assembly of lords traveled to the churchyard, where Arthur replaced the sword in the stone. Again, none could pull it from its place but Arthur himself, and he was crowned King of England. However angered that one so young would rule them, three of the lesser kings declared war on Arthur, but he defeated them with his wondrous sword. One of the defeated kings, Lot, sent his wife Morgause to spy on Arthur. Arthur, who did not know that Morgause was in fact his own sister, seduced her, and she bore him an illegitimate son, Mordred. Merlin, seeing Arthur's plight, disguised himself and went to him as the son of Uther Pendragon. There he prophesied that Mordred would one day murder Arthur. To circumvent this, Merlin counseled Arthur to gather all the sons of nobles born on May Day, Mordred included, and dispatch them on a ship. Complying with this advice, Arthur later heard that the ship had been smashed on the rocks, with Mordred as the only survivor. Enraged by the loss of their sons, the nobles plotted revenge. In a skirmish with Pellinore, a gallant knight, Arthur was defeated and lost his sword. Appealing to Merlin to reveal how he might get another, they went to a lake where, in the middle, Arthur saw a woman, as well as a hand which held a sword and scabbard above the water. The king asked this lady of the lake, "Damsel, what sword is that yonder that the arm holdeth above the water? I would it were mine, for I have no sword." Answering that it was his, she took it and laid it in his hand. "While you have the scabbard upon you," Merlin later promised, referring to Excalibur, "ye shall lose no blood, be ye never so sore wounded." Merlin, who counseled Arthur in all of his decisions, especially warned him against marrying the lovely Guinevere. Nevertheless, Arthur ignored Merlin's advice, and after his marriage, he received as dowry the Round Table. From that time forward, Arthur and his knights of the Round Table devoted themselves to the chivalric code, defending the right and engaging themselves in many acts of valor and mercy. On one occasion, King Arthur, having declined to pay Roman tribute, sent an invading army led by Sir Lancelot into the heart of Italy. In the midst of the battle, Arthur, in hand-to-hand combat, killed the emperor, thrusting his sword into Lucius from the crest of his helm unto the bare paps. Ultimately, the Britons routed the Romans, winning glory for the Round Table and a crown for Arthur in Rome. Lancelot, determined to gain even greater fame for himself, embarked on a series of triumphant contests against all challengers. As a result, Queen Guinevere favored him above all the knights, and soon Lancelot began to love her more than he loved Arthur. Unbeknownst to Lancelot, he was destined to become the father of the great Sir Galahad. Thus, in order that fate might be meted out, the brave Lancelot would have to be outwitted, and this would be achieved by a woman. Dame Breeson, an enchantress, gave Lancelot a cup of wine that muddled his senses. Asking where Guinevere was, he was directed to a room where Elaine, daughter of a king, lay waiting for him. Believing she was the fair Guinevere, Lancelot laid with her, and she conceived Galahad. When he found out that he had been deceived, Lancelot said to Elaine, "Thou traitress, thou shalt die right here of my hands." But when she revealed her identity as King Pelles' daughter, and he saw how beautiful she was, he promptly forgave her. Galahad, son of Lancelot, grew to be the noblest knight in the land. He alone was worthy to remove a sword lodged in red marble that floated on a river. "Never shall man take me hence," the sword's inscription read, "but only he by whose side I ought to hang, and he shall be the best knight of the world." In due time, Galahad and the other knights of the Round Table set out on their quest of the Holy Grail. But the vain and worldly knights were unsuccessful at obtaining the Grail. Only humble, brave, and merciful lieges, who did not seek their own fame but followed the teachings of Christ, were deserving of honor. Lancelot, therefore, having committed adultery with Guinevere, was unworthy to complete the quest. Shaken by this flaw, Lancelot promised to forsake his love of Guinevere and never to see her again. After many adventures, Galahad, Percival, and Bors obtained the Grail. Even though they were captured and locked in a dungeon, the magic of the Grail fed them great feasts. After Joseph, the son of Joseph of Arimathea, appeared and placed the Grail into Galahad's hands, Galahad beheld a vision of Christ and prayed to be with him. His prayer offered, he immediately died, and his soul rose to heaven accompanied by a throng of heavenly angels. Lancelot, meanwhile, returning from his own unsuccessful pilgrimage, soon forgot his promise and returned to Guinevere. Sir Agravaine, one of Arthur's knights, took note of the renewed affair and spoke of it openly in court. Once again, Lancelot parted with the queen, this time intent on honoring his promise and on defending other maids in jousts. But Guinevere became inflamed by her beloved's apparent snub and banished him from the kingdom. "Now I well understand that thou art a false recreant knight," she spoke, weeping, "a common lecher who lovest and holdest other ladies, and of me thou hast disdain and scorn." Accordingly, Lancelot took his leave, deeply saddened. After a time, Lancelot and Guinevere once more rekindled their romance, but this time Mordred set a trap for them. In the end, Lancelot was caught with the queen. In the bloody battle that ensued, Lancelot wounded Mordred and escaped. Meanwhile, Guinevere had been swiftly and falsely accused of poisoning a knight and was sentenced to burn. Lancelot, hearing of the court's rulings, launched a daring rescue, carrying her off to his castle. The king, in retaliation, besieged Lancelot, who finally returned Guinevere. Arthur, though, would not be appeased, and he began a full-scale assault on Lancelot's domain, leaving all of England in Mordred's sinister power. In Arthur's absence, Mordred usurped his father's throne and took Guinevere, his own mother, to wife. Hearing of this, Arthur immediately returned to England to meet Mordred in battle. Although Arthur was victorious, Mordred fled the field and gathered the many lords who sought vengeance on Arthur. Once more, Mordred came against Arthur at Salisbury, a skirmish that led to an all-day campaign. Spying him on the battlefield, Arthur rushed Mordred and impaled him with a spear, crying, "Traitor, now is thy death day come!" In his last breath, however, Mordred struck Arthur in the helmet, mortally wounding his father king. Seeing the destruction his sword had caused, the dying king ordered Sir Bedivere to cast Excalibur into the lake from whence it came. As he threw the sword, the hand rose up from the lake's surface, and grasping its hilt, brandished the blade 3 times before sinking back into the water. Arthur then asked to be placed on a boat, accompanied by 3 queens adorned in black. "I must go into the Vale of Avalon to heal me of my wound," he sighed. Arthur was never heard from again. Some say he never died. But later, Bedivere found a fresh grave that a hermit had dug for a corpse borne by 3 ladies dressed in black garb. When Lancelot sensed that Arthur was dead and heard that Guinevere had entered a convent as a nun, he became a priest. Both died soon afterwards. Guinevere's grave was hallowed next to Arthur's, even as the remaining knights, led by King Constantine, set off to fight the holy wars. The Round Table, excepting for a place in history, was no more. Thomas Malory, a knight-turned-thief, wrote Morte d'Arthur around 1469. Tales of King Arthur is the abridged version that renders Malory's Middle English prose into a more readable form and deletes some of the numerous combats and conquests. The story revolves around those who would achieve knighthood and fame at any cost. Malory depicts a group of honorable knights dedicated to the chivalric code who fall prey to corruption, savagery, incest, lust, intrigues, and in the end, near annihilation. Though there is much good in most of the knights, even Arthur ultimately pays the price of incest by having to kill his own son and then losing his own life. Indeed, Lancelot, the noblest of knights, is responsible for the deaths of those he loves most, and in the end, it is the abandonment of virtue and honor in favor of a more desperate warfare that rescinds the age of chivalry.